Good job, guys. Thanks. A couple of years before Thanksgiving, just a few years ago, I called Corey, our oldest, and I said, Corey, I hate to mess up your holidays, but Mom and I are getting a divorce. I said, 40 years is enough. He screamed, what are you talking about? I said, well, we can't stand each other anymore. I can't stand to look at her. She can't stand to look at me. We just had it. It's over. You call your brothers. I'm sick of talking about this. You call your brothers and tell them. Dad, and I hung up. He did. He called his brothers, and they reacted in a certain way. Then the phone rang a little bit later. It's Corey again. Said, Dad, don't you do anything. We'll all be there in another day, so you don't do anything at all. Do you hear me? And I said, yeah, sure. So I hung up and said, okay, to Jan, okay, I got them all coming for this Thanksgiving. You figure out how to get them to come for Christmas. Well, with all the last-minute preparation, Jan had to go to the store to get a big turkey. Looking through, and the pickings were rather slim, like the day before Thanksgiving. And so she asked the butcher, said, do these get any bigger? He said, no, ma'am, they're all dead. Where's my drummer? Hi. After one Thanksgiving when I was a kid, came up with the idea. I said, I want a turkey. And my dad thought, well, that's a great idea. We'll get you a turkey and we'll fatten it up and we'll have fresh turkey next Thanksgiving. So I got me a turkey, and so I went through the year feeding, kind of plumping him up and getting everything right. But, you know, as things normally go, he became a pet. And when it got time to butcher him and take care of all of that, we just couldn't do it. So we ate the neighbor's dog instead. My grandmother had a parrot that was known for his foul mouth, foul mouth because he's a bird. So she was getting concerned about Thanksgiving coming up and everybody coming for dinner, and what was that turkey, parrot going to say? And so she thought, okay, I'll show you. And she put him in the freezer, closed the door, and left him in there for about 10 minutes. And then she remembered, oh, I've got to thaw the turkey. So she opened the door, got the turkey out. He came flying out, landed over there, and she said, I hope you have learned your lesson now about foul language. And he said, oh, yeah. I look at what you did to me, but at least I got to keep my feathers. I don't know what you did to the turkey, but at least I'm feathered. You may not know this, but a group of turkey is called a rafter. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Called a rafter of turkeys. And a big male full-grown adult turkey is called a gobbler. Did you know what a young turkey is called? A goblet. I asked permission from my, actually I asked forgiveness from my wife before I ever got up here this morning. Let's talk about thanks for a minute. The word Thanksgiving, we've thrown that around all of our lives and use it rather loosely. We declare it a day. We don't talk about giving Thanksgiving or doing that. But the word Thanksgiving and thanks itself comes from a very unique word in the Greek. It's the word Eucharist. You've probably heard of the word Eucharist in some church backgrounds that you may have had. Some have taken that word and identified it as a rite or a sacrament that you would participate in by focusing on Jesus' death and being able to look at that as some way of acknowledging what he'd done. But the word Eucharist is far beyond that, just as Jesus' death was far beyond the moment that he died. Because through that death, it opened up this whole world of God being able to give his attention to us personally and individually to bless our lives. The word comes from the EU part of Eucharist, means good. The charis part of it means grace. So what the word literally means is good grace. Or as we look toward what the Lord has done, we are giving thanks for God's good grace in our behalf. Now, you've heard all the definitions of grace. You probably have several that you relate to personally. But one of the ones that is probably on everybody's list is grace is God's unmerited favor. Unmerited, you can't work for it, earn it, or deserve it. It's just something that God chooses to give to us because He's God and we're His children. Sort of like with your kids or your grandkids. You give them the blessing of belonging to you. Sometimes it may be in a gift. Sometimes it may just simply be in a relationship that's more special than you have with anybody else. But it is something you give them not because they have earned it or deserve it. It's just simply because you love them and want to extend that to them. Undeserved, unachieved, freely given blessing of God's goodness to us. It is God giving us what we don't deserve. The word is actually favor. Favor. Favor means an act of kindness beyond what is due or what is expected. If you ask me to do something for you, I'm not obligated at all. You know, just because you ask, I don't have to say yes. You don't have to say yes if I ask you for something. But if I choose to do that, I am doing it not because of something that I owe you or something you owe back to me, but simply because I want to participate in your life on that level. I want to do what you've asked me to do. I want to get what you've asked me to get or give what you want me to give. And it's simply a favor done because of our relationship. It always goes back to the relationship. Now, the first place in Scripture that the word favor comes out is with Noah. Story of Noah and the flood. The early stages of that story when the Bible is describing horrendous attitude of the world against God. The rebellion and the sin and all the things that were going on the earth at that time that turned God's stomach, if we can use that as an expression for God. But the things that made God want to do the flood in the first place, all of that was going on. And here, right in the middle of that was one man who had what the Bible says, the favor of God. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Did Noah do anything to deserve that favor? Of course not. Did he deserve it because he was a good guy? No. Was there something about Noah when God looked and said, "Ha, you know, I feel obligated to you to kind of help you because of how I've watched your life"? No. God looked at Noah, and yes, Noah was striving toward righteousness, but beyond that, God simply said, "Noah, upon you, I'm going to rest my favor. I'm going to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. I'm going to bless you in ways that you cannot be blessed beyond my words. I'm going to put my favor on you." And the result of that favor, obviously, was the ark. And the purpose of the ark was to rescue Noah and his family from the flood. Second place that it comes in is in Exodus 33, verse 16. When it's given reference to Moses, God had he had told them, "Look, you guys go ahead, I'm not going with you." That's one of those scary times when we step outside of God's direction or God's will or God's purpose for us, and God says, "Okay, it's fine, go ahead, I'll just wait right here, you go ahead and let's see what's going to come out of this." And that was basically what was going to happen there. They were rebelling against God again, and they were ready to move, and they wanted to go and do, and God said, "No, I'm not going. And here's what Moses said to the Lord. It said, "For how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all other people who are upon the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I've known you by name." You see, really, when it came down to it, God was not obligated in any way to have to go with them. He had chosen that as the direction of how He was going to lead His people. But in this moment, the distinguishing factor of God's presence also represented His favor. For by His presence came the blessings that He had intended for Moses and all the people that went along with this. So Moses is saying, how can it be evidence that we have your favor if you're not even with us? God said, I will show you that. I will be with you because you do have my favor on you. See, what we're finding in Scripture is that God is choosing to settle favor on His people, either a person in His family like Noah, a people and their leader like Moses. He's giving them His favor, not for their benefit necessarily, though obviously they benefit from it, but so that He can accomplish His purposes through them. Here's what David said. David had a lot to say about this. He said of God, His anger is for a moment, but His favor is for a lifetime. The lifetime, when you realize what we have come into, is a life relationship with God, and it extends from the moment it started all the way through the end of eternity, which, as you realize, never ends. We have this life of God. We have this life flowing through us. This lifetime for us goes beyond our death. It continues on in heaven. So David's just looking at this and said, yeah, God will have His moments when He has to discipline us or deal with us as rebellious children, but His favor stays with us. It resides with us because His favor is based upon Him determining our need more than our actions of what we deserve or don't deserve. Psalm 30, verse 7. O Lord, by Your favor You have made my mountain to stand strong. Now, in biblical language, David particularly, in the poetry section, will use things around in nature to describe something about himself or something about life. And you look at a mountain and you realize mountain's immovable. Mountain is strong. Mountain's not going anywhere. And so when David looks at his life and all the changes that are affecting him and everything that's bombarding him from every direction, the solid thing that remains is, my life is like a mountain. I stand strong in the Lord. And so as David is looking at his life, he realizes that the favor of God produces a stability for him that nothing else can, that he wouldn't have it any other way. Psalm 89, verse 17, for You are the glory of our strength, and by Your favor our horn is exalted. Now, I've looked at that and said, I don't have horns, I hope. I don't have anything sticking up. What are you talking about, me having a horn and that horn being exalted? Well, you can read throughout Scripture and you will find the expression of someone's horn related to them. And a lot of it is in prophetic literature where you'll talk about the horn of this king or these little horns, these big horns, and all of that comes through. The idea of the word horn in Scripture is reputation. Reputation. Who are you and what do you represent? And so David is trying to bring out this expression of where God's favor on me makes me strong, but it also helps me represent well who I am in Him. I am able to demonstrate something that I can't do on my own. I go to the mall and I don't walk around saying, look at me, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, I am a believer, and I don't draw attention to myself as I walk through with lights that flash and tell them who I am. All I have is the testimony of my life. All I have are the words that come out of my mouth. Nothing about me flashes who I am, but I can demonstrate that in how I live and what I say. It comes through. And so he says, my horn, my reputation is exalted. It's lifted up in you. And then in Psalm 90, he says, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. This is really where you bring favor as a concept, bring it down as God's blessing of us, and bring it all the way down to a actual event in our lives whereby God is able to demonstrate something about Himself, that He's in charge, that He's taken over. Several months ago, I don't know how far back, it's gone back a while, Jean Calhoun, one of our ladies, connected us with Buckner Ministries in Conroe. They're a wider organization, but they have a regional office in Conroe. And went over there and she met with them and basically looked at what they did and said, how can we help you as a church? And so we went into a relationship with them, just kind of extending some space when they needed a training facility. And then it went on to the next level, and somehow communication went to Our Lady's Sewing and found out that Buckner's needs weighted blankets. Blankets, little blankets that have little pellets in them that weigh them down, because children with autism or from abusive relationships, having that blanket on them gives them comfort, calms them down. It's a strange thing, but that weight sort of helps them get back under control. So we took it on as a project. Jean and the sewing ladies began to make these blankets for Buckner's, who has a lot of foster kids that come from really horrendous backgrounds. And these things began to help and just multiply what they were able to do. Well, a lady from a school in Montgomery, elementary school, found out about it. And then contacted Jean and said, I'd like to talk to you about these blankets. I'd like to buy one because I need one. So Jean met with her, and we decided, obviously, because this had started out as a ministry, we don't sell these things. If somebody wants to cover the cost, fine, but they're ministry gifts, and we'll give them away if that will serve the purpose, but if they want to contribute, fine, but we're not selling them. And so she met with this lady and saw that, went to the school and sat down at a table and had people, teachers and workers there, come throughout the day begging her and her ladies to make them one of these. Custodian came and said, I have an autistic kid. I need one of those. And we've made her one. Another teacher came and said, I've got these kids in my room and I need a couple of these. And we made them. And the ladies began to make and make and make, until this one little moment months ago of meeting a lady at Buckner's turned into a ministry where God is just taking these and distribute them around. You know what makes it so special? They're not just blankets. Our ladies pray over these on Monday. We'll pray over them on Wednesday night. These are dedicated blankets. They are anointed blankets. And when they go to a child's home, they're not just taking the pressure of that package and putting it on their chest, but God is able to settle Himself on there and give them a peace that they can't understand beyond that. You see, it was God confirming our hands, the work of our hands, and taking that and using that in a way that would demonstrate this was actually His idea, not ours. And so David is basically saying, Lord, let Your favor be on us, but please confirm it so that we know it's You. And that is a ministry that confirmed it. Ray and his hearing aids is another ministry that just confirmed that God was in the direction of this thing, being able to take and say, look, I've got people that I want to service their needs. You guys get on the stick and do it. And that became our privilege. Then in Psalm 119, David said, I sought Your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to Your word. See, favor is actually a promise of God, though it's not something that we can draw from Him. We can't manipulate from Him. We can't beg from Him. We really can't even expect it in the sense that, God, You owe us, so give us some favor. But it is what God does simply because we're His kids and He's pleased with our willingness to obey Him and come across. The favor of God, God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, becomes a source of our thanksgiving. The focus of our thanks is on what He has done in us and then what He's doing through us, how He has shown Himself faithful and accomplished good things in our behalf. See, thanksgiving is not just to be about the things that we have traditionally made it about, though those things are blessings to us. The family and the food and fellowship and all that goes on are incredibly wonderful and strong times. But the word itself goes back to telling God how much we appreciate His good grace, His good favor that He gives us. Back in the beginning, George Washington did the proclamation that set this up for a nation. Let me just read that real quickly. Listen to what he said when he was establishing Thanksgiving as a holiday. He said, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, by their joint committee, requested me to be observed by acknowledging with, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. He went on to mention God specifically 16 times in that proclamation, making thanksgiving, not thanking the Indians for getting us through the first harvest, but taking it all the way back to the ultimate source of God Himself, who's poured His favor out upon our nation. But He was very clear to specifically say that this favor goes to the hearts of the people first, and then it comes as an expression out of that. You see, we think of Thanksgiving, we think of one day a year. We get all this together and we do that and we try to come up with what we're thankful for that one day. God intended Thanksgiving to be every day, throughout the day, always acknowledging His good favor over us, demonstrating the fact that by belonging to Him, He takes care of His children. He takes care of us in every way. We are to live as thankful people. It affects us personally. Me personally, you personally. In Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, that's not just a great piece of advice. It's a promise. It comes under the category of, if you will do these things, God will do this as a result. If you will take your anxiety, your concern, whatever is stirring within you, and you present that to God in prayer as a supplication, supplication basically meaning to ask God something humbly, fervently, you present that to God, and then you put as the rack that it's resting on with thanksgiving. The promise is God will resultantly give you peace. See, the answer to prayer is not always what God is shooting for to give us the answer to what we've prayed. He actually knows what we need, and what we need when we are anxious or concerned is peace, which comes when we know He's heard us and He is now taking care of this. We've got some folks that are going through some very difficult times right now because of cancer. Patty Goff had surgery this last week, and they took a, well, maybe smaller, took a mass out of her stomach. If you want to see the picture, Larry has the picture. I don't advise it, but if you want to see it, go right ahead. Took that out of her stomach, and they're doing the analysis to see what it is. They're pretty sure it's benign. They're not worried about it, but they're going to do the analysis and see what it is. But she's gone through that concern for all of these days of knowing something is there. What is it? What's it going to mean after we get through doing this? Sandra has just found out a week or so ago that there is something growing inside of her, and it is cancerous, and they are going to chemo and radiate her, and she has a journey of several months ahead. You realize how anxious you can become during those times, how dark it can get, how miserably alone you can be in your own thoughts and worries. God said, hey, take that, wrap it up in prayer, give it to me, but give it to me with thanks. Not thanks that you have it, not thanks that it's invaded your life, but thanks that I am a God who gives favor to His children. And here's what I'll give you in result, as a result of that. I'll give you peace. Peace is what God gives us to deal with the things that we can't handle in any other way. Someone has said, how often do we have to pray for something? You know, basically you pray till you've reached peace about it that God's going to do it. God's going to take care of it. You keep praying over this until you can say, okay, whew, I no longer have the anxiety or worry over this. God must have taken that away, and now I'm at peace. We continue on from that. The promise is the peace. Peace is what we get when God has heard us. But it also affects others. It affects me in my own prayer life, my own personal going through life phase, but it affects others out of 1 Corinthians 9. Now, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increasing the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Paul says God will bless you so that you can bless somebody else. So he can be, you can be the mechanism of his blessing. He gives you the ability to grow money so you can bless others. He gives you the ability to understand people's needs so you can bless others. He gives you the blessing of hospitality so that you can bless others who have a need during a time. God, basically, he's saying God has given us this with all liberality so that we might be liberal in dispensing this to others, and it creates, goes back to thanksgiving for him. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and to the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because the surpassing grace of God in you. And then he ends with that statement, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What's God's indescribable gift? His favor in you. How can you explain that? How can you explain in people that they want to be God-like in blessing others in response to how God has blessed them? They want to let God flow through them and out and meet needs and touch others and accomplish purposes for God. That's his favor working through us. Now, let me just let you know. This church is a gift from God to me. I hope you see it that same way. I drive into the parking lot and I sense God's blessing all over this place. I come into this room and I look at you, and you are a blessing of God to me. I see the love that you spread and share among everybody else. And this is a very rare but significant church. I feel the embrace of God when some of you with the ministry of hugging hug me. And I feel God behind that hug. I listen to our band play and I sense the pleasure of God on our place as we meet together and worship him. When I stand up here and share the word, I feel his pleasure on my life because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and sense that I have what he wants to share with you. I look at our missions and I see in our missions that we, our church right here, Montgomery, Texas, we're touching lives all over the world. We're out in the boonies of Africa. We're in the hidden places of Eurasia and others I can't mention. We go into the Dominican Republic. We help children that have been cast away. Nobody wanted them, but we go and make their lives better. We bless people in our United States by the way that we support ministries that are going on. God is using us to express himself to the world in us and through us to accomplish those things. I look at our Bible study groups. I look at how they continue to grow. I look at our home fellowship groups. And I literally sense God's joy over our church because we take his word so seriously and look into the things that he said. The Bible speaks of enjoying refreshing times from the Lord. We're in those. Those are times that God simply says, I want to pour out more favor on a group of people, not because they deserve it or they're owed it or there's anything they're doing that makes them have earned it, I just simply, it's my time, my blessing here, and pours his favor out upon a church. This is rare. What we have is something special. It is something unique to what most churches long for, but it's simply the way God wants to pour his life out in us and through us. Now, when God works through a church, though, you realize he's working through people. He's using us as individuals to do a collective work. When we support a building out back, he's working through individual gifts to raise the amount that we have to work with so that all of us can be a part of that project. When someone makes a weighted blanket, all of us are participating in that. Or we're providing hearing aids, or we're going to the Dominican Republic. All of us are participating in those things. So he's using all of us to be able to accomplish his purpose. And for the next few minutes, and I'm going to do this very quickly, I want to recognize for you, especially for those of you who are new, I want to show you, recognize the list of our ministry people and who are involved in these ministries. All right? Don't break your neck. But I want you to find them when I call their names out. I'm not going to have you guys come down front. I just want when the slide hits on there, if you're in that group, pop up in your seat, and I want people to look around and see who are. In group one, our elders who represent so much about the leadership of this church. You guys stand, and I think there's only two of you here. So there's two out of the other four. The other two guys are not here. Pat is the elder, is the chairman of that. David is one of the elders within that. Stay. Our trustees, and only one of these is here, Jan Rushing. Jan had an interesting week. Had a heart attack last week and has had two stents put in, but she's a new woman. It's kind of like going in. She got an extended warranty. Went in, everything is so good. Jim Wagner is not here today, but he's also one of those. Our finance guys, Pat McQuistion, stand up. Where'd he go? Oh, okay. Pat? All right, he's not coming, but he's our CFO. He's the one that is the ultimate head of our finances that helps coordinate the budget and everything else that we do and coordinates our spending. There he is, Pat McQuistion. Thank you for showing up. Also on his, Gary Cott is not here this morning, but Maurice works with them, and Frank Jacobs. There you are. All right, you guys stay up for just a minute. Then our deacons, Dick Humulainen, did you get back here? He's not here. Okay. I knew several would not be here, but that's okay. All the deacons, I'm not going to list your name. Just stand up. All of our deacons, stand up. All over the place. All right? Okay. These kind of serve as a layer of our leadership that help us be able to accomplish the things that we do in running the church. You guys, please be seated, and lady. Group two. Our nursery and ladies' brown bag, Kay, is she in the nursery? She is not even here. A reasonable facsimile is Larry, so you can look at him. Sylvia is not here. Okay, that's fine. Pierce, come in. Huh? Oh, Sylvia's out there. Pierce Futch back there does our early morning Bible study. And he's a part of that. Ladies, Bible study leaders, Liz, Olson, Stacy, Buick in the very back. All right. Bible study leaders, George Nanos is not here. Jim Wagner is not here. Reading the Bible group, Alan, stand up. This coming Thursday, we're going to make a change of location. We have found a ministry point that may help us be able to minister to others, but where Buster lives. We're going to start doing reading the Bible through in their room there on Thursday nights. 6:30? 6:30. All right. Thank you, sir. Home group leaders. If you lead a home group, you stand. I'm not going to read all the names. If you lead a home group, stand up. And again, there's several that aren't here. All right, this is our Bible study ministry. These are the ones that God uses to help pour His Word into the lives of our people. Thank you. Y'all please be seated. All right, missions. The Cots are not here, but they head this up. Ray and Karen, Steve and Gay, Shane's right there, Bob and Cindy Shane, Tommy and Paula. Those are our the people that coordinate all of our ministry in missions. They choose how do we spend the money that you give. 10% of everything that's given goes through their team and is distributed out. And so they're a vital part of what goes on there. Our prison ministry, Soraya is not here. Margaret? Oliveris? There you are. You're usually over there throwing me. And then Liz, again. These ladies go into the prisons on Thursday and share the gospel with the ladies that are there. Our Live Oak Assisted Living Bible Study, and Roy, right there. Jim is our Gideon's. Sewing ladies. Gene, you stand. All the other sewing ladies, stand up. Anybody else? There's a couple of them. All right. There they are, popping up. All these are the ladies that do that ministry that is so exciting that God has led us to. So this is the missions part. This is us taking our life outside of these walls and doing other things with them. Thank you. Y'all be seated for just a moment. Now, the last group, two more groups. Wednesday night prayer. Ron and Dorcas are not here. Monday prayer group. Ladies of the Monday prayer group. Y'all just stand. I'm not going to mention all your names. Liz? Get back up. Rebecca? I didn't have all the names on there. Did you? Can you stay up? There you go. Okay. Stay up. Stay up. We're adding to this. These ladies are the power source of this church. They meet on Monday mornings and they pray seriously hard for the ministry of this church, for God to pour Himself. God is honoring their prayer in such tremendous ways. Hospitality, Stacy, stand up again. Ladies, don't sit down. Hospitality, Stacy, back there. Building and grounds, Leon and Larry, y'all, they're in charge of that. Our tech team, Sandra, David's up there, Steve Barotti, and Pat McQuiston back there in the back. Decorating, Emily Alterman, Donna Walker. All right, these are the ones that sort of help us express ourselves in a variety of ways. Y'all be seated. We're talking to God. We're talking through the equipment. We're talking in how we present ourselves, but those are part of our expression. Then group five, real quick. Hosting team, which is our greeters and name tags, Roy, Mike Roy, stand up right there. Rhonda, E-News, stand up way back there. Sandra, again, she does our web stuff. Rhonda, stand up again for the book club. Gary Alston, stand up. Gary changes our sign out here. If you ever wonder how that thing gets changed and who puts that on there, it's Gary himself. Solo Spirits, Gene, stand back up. Office Helpers, Sherry Williams. Carol Brown is right there behind her. Y'all stand up. They come in and help Cindy on Fridays do the things she hadn't been able to get done through the week. Not really. Folds bulletins, sends out letters, whatever. Furniture Repair, our main guy, John Alterman. Grief Share, Stalings, Carrie and Joyce. This is a part of what actually helps us communicate the message of God for others. Y'all can be seated. All of these things become a part of that message that others hear and read and see. This is who we are. These are the folks that God has brought together to be a part of that expression of His favor through this church. And it takes every one of these to be able to make this thing work. Now, with all of that in mind, I want you to realize again, this church is something special. Here's our takeaways, and you'll see it from that. Number one, North Shore Church is an incredible church. This is not a bragging thing. This is not a prideful thing. This is just an awe-inspiring thing that God has created a church like this. It's an incredible church. The head of this church, the Lord Himself. It's not any of these people that stood up. Nobody runs this church. God is the one in charge of this. He is good, and His goodness is seen in every facet of who we are and what we do as a church. We simply want to join Him and go where He wants to go. Number four, He is blessing this church beyond anything we deserve. If anyone ever thinks, well, we deserve this, somebody standing beside them, just slap them real hard in the face. Okay? We do not deserve anything that God is doing. But all we can say is, thank you, Lord, for the incredible gift of your favor. God has blessed us, and it's our responsibility to channel that blessing through us to others and begin to share this message of how great He is with somebody else. What I'd like to do to close today, I'd like to guide you in a directed prayer. I want to give you the opportunity to express your thanks to God for several things that I'm going to list. So it's just going to be a few moments of you quietly praying to the Lord where you are, and I'm just going to feed you some things to talk. Talk quickly because I'm not going to linger on a subject, but mention these things to the Lord in your thanks, all right? Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, give thanks to the Lord for our family and friends. Express your thanks for them. For our health, wealth, and well-being. For our church and what God has planned for our future. For knowing me, you, loving me, and for the plans God has for my life, you saying that for your life. For giving us the favor that comes from belonging to God. Father, as we spend this time trying to direct our thoughts in specific ways, sometimes it's easy for us to forget what you're actually doing and the thanks that you deserve for that. Father, may the thanks that we give you for our family and the condition of our life, regardless of what's going on, for the way you're blessing our church through what we are doing as a result of your favor on us, what you're doing in our lives personally and individually, and what you're pouring out on us collectively. God, thank you for all of that. Thank you that we are your creation, your people, the sheep of your pasture. That, Father, you have committed yourself as a good shepherd to guide our lives, to take care of us, and to protect us. So, Father, just belonging to you is the ultimate blessing. Lord, may we be good stewards of your blessings. May we demonstrate through our lives how good your grace really is. Lord, thank you for a day just to say thanks for all that you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. I needed an opportunity to say thanks for so many things, and we rarely get that opportunity to do so. So thank you and bless you.